Okay, I want you to do something for me. Close your eyes and picture a map of your city. You've got the thick lines for highways, the blue for rivers, maybe a big gray patch for an airport. It looks so neat, right? A connected rip.
But it's lying to you.
It's totally lying to you because if you actually live there, you know that map doesn't show the friction.
Exactly. It doesn't show the river that makes you drive 5 miles out of your way to get to a shop that's, what, 500 yards away?
Or the airport terminal, where you can literally see your connecting flight out the window, but getting there is a 30-minute bus ride through city traffic.
We call those the disconnects, the gaps. And we just, we accept them. We say, well, that's just geography.
Right.
But the source material we're looking at today really challenges that. We're diving into a report called Subsurface Strategic Connectivity.
Which, I'll be honest, sounds like the title of a textbook I would have avoided in college.
It does sound a bit heavy, I'll give you that. But the content is surprisingly practical. It's a report by Ray Uzwishan, and it was submitted for the Boring Company's Tunnel Vision competition.
Right.
And the whole premise is fascinating because it's not about, rebuilding the entire interstate system or these massive hyperloops. It's about what the report calls surgical interventions.
Surgical interventions. I like that. It's not open-heart surgery on the city. You're just fixing a specific valve.
That's a great way to put it.
So set the stage for us. What was the actual challenge? Because when you hear Elon Musk and the Boring Company, you just picture these huge sci-fi networks under Vegas.
This is way more constrained, which frankly makes it more interesting. The challenge was to propose a project for their proof rock tunnel boring machine,
Okay.
but with a strict limit. The tunnel has to be 1 mile long. That's it, 1.6
One
kilometers.
mile, that feels incredibly short. In the world of infrastructure, a mile is practically a rounding error.
It is, but that's the point. 1 mile is what we'd call the infrastructure dead zone.
The dead zone. That sounds a little ominous.
It's an economic problem, really. If you need to span 10 miles, okay, the cost justifies a huge highway project. If it's 50 feet over a creek, you just build simple bridge. But 1 mile,
It's awkward.
it's an awkward, expensive distance. It's often too long for a cheap causeway, but way too short to justify a multi-billion-dollar high clearance bridge.
Especially if there's a shipping channel involved, right?
Bing.
Because then you can't just build a flat road. You need these massive ramps just to get the height.
Exactly. You end up needing a mile of ramp on either side just to cross a few hundred yards of water. So what happens?
Nothing.
Nothing happens. The gap stays. Or, cities use ferries, which are slow and expensive to run. So this report finds those gaps and proposes using a tunnel as a kind of subsurface bridge.
And they rank them.
Oh, yeah. They used a rigorous 20-factor ROI matrix to find the absolute best places on Earth to do this.
When you say ROI, return on investment, we're not just talking about selling tickets to ride in the tunnel.
No, and that's the key. That's where most people get infrastructure wrong. They looked at real estate value uplift, operational savings like not having to fire up a diesel ferry every 20 minutes, social equity, and importantly, speed of execution.
I want to get into that ranking because some of these are going to surprise people. But first, we have to talk about the tool.
The proof rock.
The beast beneath the surface.
It sounds like a character from a nursery rhyme. How does this thing actually solve the problem? Because tunneling is famously slow. We've all seen stories about subway lines taking 20 years.
The key is continuous mining. Traditional tunneling is stop and go. You dig, you stop, you bring in concrete segments, you build the
It's
ring.
like driving in bumper to bumper traffic.
Exactly. Proof rock is designed to install those precast concrete segments while it's still grinding forward. It doesn't stop. The goal is to get the cost under $20 million a mile.
Which is, that's unheard of. The Second Avenue subway in New York was something like $2.5 billion a mile. Right. But there's a huge trade-off, and this is crucial for you to understand. It's the size. The proof rock digs a tunnel with a diameter of 12 feet.
Grow feet. So like 3.6 meters. Okay, visualize that for me. That is not a two-lane road.
It's barely a one-lane road. You are not fitting a semi-truck in there. You're not fitting a standard subway car.
So I have to play devil's advocate here. What's the point of a tunnel that can't take a train or a truck? Aren't we just building a really expensive storm drain?
That's the skepticism, right? But the argument is optimization. It's built for AEVs, autonomous electric vehicles. Think modified Teslas or maybe 12 passenger pods.
Or a utility corridor.
Or a bike path.
Or a bike path, yeah. The idea is by shrinking the diameter, you exponentially shrink the cost and the volume of dirt you have to move. You're not trying to move the whole city, you're just threading a needle to solve one specific bottleneck.
Okay, small hole, high speed, low cost. But there's one more constraint in the report that I found really interesting. It wasn't just geology, it was lawyers. It's always about the lawyers. The report heavily, heavily weighs land ownership.
Right, because you want to build anything, you have to deal with right of way.
Which is an absolute nightmare. Eminent domain, buying out hundreds of homeowners. That process alone can take decades. So the report favors what they call single entity land ownership.
Meaning if one person or one organization owns the land at point A and the same organization owns the land at point B.
You don't have to ask anyone else for permission. You just bypass the whole bureaucratic mess. You can start digging next week. That speed is a massive part of the ROI.
All right, let's see this in action. The global top 10. The number one spot with a score of 98 out of 100 goes to a project in Manila.
The Manila NAIA Interterminal Loop.
Now, I've never flown through Manila, but I've heard stories. It's famously chaotic.
It's a perfect storm. The Ninoy Aquino International Airport, it handles about 50 million passengers a year. But the terminals are fragmented. Terminal 1 for international and Terminal 2 are completely separated.
Separated by what? A highway?
By the active runways.
Oh, so you can't just walk across?
No, impossible. So right. Imagine you land internationally, you have the domestic connection. You have to exit the terminal, go out onto the surface streets into Manila gridlock, take a shuttle bus, and drive all the way around the airport.
That sounds like a recipe for missed flights.
It's a disaster. The report says that transfer can take anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes, and it's totally unpredictable.
What's the proposal?
A 1.6 kilometer loop that connects the basements of the terminals going directly under the runway.
And the time savings.
It drops the travel time from up to an hour to 3 minutes. Guaranteed.
That's transformative. But there's a technical thing in the report I want you to explain. Airside versus landside. That seems to be where the real value is.
This is the airside opportunity. Right now, because you have to leave the secure zone, you are going landside. You have to go through customs, get your bags, suffer through traffic, and then go through security again at the next terminal.
Which costs the airport a fortune in staffing and managing all those crowds.
Millions. But if you build a secure tunnel, passengers stay airside. They never leave security. They just hop in a pod, zip under the runway, and go to their gate.
And it hits that single entity rule we talked about.
Perfectly. The airport authority owns all the land. They have the golden ticket, no red tape. They could sign the contract and start digging.
Makes total sense why that's number one. Let's hop back to the U.S. The report has a tale of two islands. Rank number two is Governor's Island in New York, and rank four is Fisher Island in Miami.
Yeah, one is a public play, one is a private play.
But let's start with New York. Governor's Island is this incredible park just off Manhattan, but getting there is strictly scheduled.
It's entirely ferry dependent, and the ferries stop at night, so there's this curfew. You can't really build a vibrant community there because if you miss the last boat, you're stranded.
And the plan is to turn the island into a climate solutions hub.
Right, a living lab, maybe university extension, residential areas. But you can't build a neighborhood if an ambulance can't get there at 3 a.m.
So the tunnel isn't just about moving people. It's about unlocking the value of the dirt itself.
Precisely. Value uplift. The report estimates that just having a 247 fixed link a tunnel that's always open increases the real estate potential of the island by over $500 million.
So if the tunnel costs, say, $40 million, it pays for itself 10 times over just in property value.
Exactly. It turns a seasonal park into a permanent part of Manhattan.
Now let's flip the script. Fisher Island, Miami, rank number four.
The wealthiest zip code in the entire country.
So I'm guessing they're not looking for more public access. They probably like being cut off.
To a point, yes. But they also rely on a ferry. And their problem is what the report calls existential risk.
Sounds dramatic.
Well, for them it is. The land on the mainland side, where their ferry terminal is, was sold to a developer. They don't own their own front door anymore.
So their access could be compromised.
It could be. So for them, the tunnel is an insurance policy. It offers resilience and, crucially, privacy. They can drive their car into a secure tunnel and pop up in their garage without waiting in a ferry line.
And as a homeowners association, they can just write a check.
A special assessment. They can fund the $40 million themselves to protect their property values.
It's fascinating. Same technology, a one-mile tube, but completely different reasons. One public, one private.
But both are ferry killers. They replace a boat with a fixed link.
Let's stick with that ferry killer theme and go to Europe. Rank three is London. Rank five is Amsterdam, both defined by their rivers.
Let's look at London first, Rotherhithe to Canary Wharf.
classic commuter route. Residential on one side, a massive financial hub on the other.
And they're only 400 meters apart. You can wave to your office, but getting there takes 30, 40 minutes on the tube or waiting for a ferry.
And they did try to build a bridge there, didn't they?
They did, for pedestrians and cyclists. But here's the dead zone problem again. The Thames is a working river. Big ships need to pass through.
So the bridge has to open.
And a lifting mechanism that big is incredibly complex. The cost ballooned to 463 million pounds.
Wait, almost half a billion pounds for a bike bridge? That's insane.
It became politically toxic. They canceled it. But the demand is still there.
Enter the tunnel?
Enter the tunnel. A 12-foot tunnel goes under the cruise ships. It doesn't need a lifting mechanism. The estimated cost drops to somewhere between 40 and 60 million pounds.
A tenth of the price.
To achieve the exact same goal, connecting the workforce to the workplace in 2 minutes.
It seems so obvious. But let's look at Amsterdam rank 5, the IJ River crossing.
If you've been to Amsterdam Central Station, you've seen this. You walk out the back and there's just a swarm of ferries shuttling people across the river.
It's chaotic. You're packed in like sardines.
It's at a breaking point. 70,000 cyclists and pedestrians a day. And just like London, the cruise ship lobby blocks any bridge. So the solution is to jump over the IJ with a tunnel.
But the report flags a big red warning light for Amsterdam. Geology. Why is Amsterdam harder than London? To me, dirt is dirt.
Oh, dirt is definitely not just dirt. In London, you're digging through London clay. It's firm, consistent. It's a tunneler's dream.
And Amsterdam.
It's a swamp. It's soft clay, peat, sand, and a very high water table. It's like digging through soup.
And if you mess that up?
The ground sinks. In a city famous for historic buildings that are already tilting, that's a very high-risk maneuver. That's why it ranks lower than London. The geotechnical risk drags the score way down.
So the dirt always matters.
The dirt always matters.
Okay, we've covered airports, islands, rivers. I want to talk about the last mile problem. Because sometimes the gap isn't water, it's just asphalt. Rank number 6 takes us to Los Angeles.
Dodger Stadium.
The parking lot that occasionally hosts a baseball game.
Cruel, but fair. Dodger Stadium is iconic, but it's on top of a hill surrounded by freeways. Getting in and out is a nightmare.
And there is a metro station nearby in Chinatown. But nearby is deceptive in L.A.
Right. It's a 1.2-mile walk, but it's uphill, often in the blazing sun.
So nobody does it. Everyone drives.
Exactly. So the proposal, the dugout loop, is a tunnel directly from the Chinatown metro station to the stadium parking lot.
Turning a 25-minute sweat fest into
a 3-minute pod ride.
Here's my skepticism on this one, though. A baseball stadium is empty most of the time. Only 81 home games a year. Does the ROI really hold up?
That's a valid critique. But the report argues two things. One, it hosts concerts and other events. But two, and this is the social equity part, it takes thousands of cars off the residential streets in Elysian Park. So you're improving quality of life for the locals, not just the fans.
Okay, fair enough. Let's wrap up the top 10 with something that feels totally different. Rank 10, the Aggie Loop at Texas A&M.
Big'em. Yeah, this one is interesting because it highlights the sheer scale of modern mega universities.
How big are we talking?
Texas A&M has the largest student body in the U.S. Over 71,000 students. The campus is massive. It's a small city.
And they all have to get to class at the same time.
Exactly. They have a passing period of about 20 minutes, but the campus is so big you physically can't get from one side to the other in that time.
So you have 70,000 people trying to move at once.
It's gridlock. The buses get stuck in the same traffic as everyone else.
So the proposal is a 1-mile campus connector. And the reason this makes the top 10 goes back to our favorite subject.
Ownership. The university system owns all the land. They have a massive endowment. They don't need city council approval to dig under their own intramural fields.
It's the lowest bureaucracy project on the entire list.
And the lowest capital expenditure. It's just a simple tube to solve a daily crisis for 70,000 people. It reduces a 20-minute panic run to a 2-minute ride.
So when you step back and look at the whole list, Manila, New York, London, a college campus, what's the big lesson here?
The pattern is that the high ROI isn't just about the tunnel itself, it's about what the tunnel replaces.
Good on.
In almost every one of these cases, the tunnel replaces a high operational cost. Ferries need diesel, they need crews, they need maintenance, shuttle buses need drivers and gas, and just add to traffic.
So you're trading a monthly bill for a one-time payment.
Exactly. A tunnel is a high upfront cost capital expenditure, or CapEx. But once it's built, the operational cost is tiny, especially with autonomous electric vehicles.
So over 20 years, the tunnel wins.
The tunnel wins every time. It's CapEx killing OpEx.
And the second lesson seems to be all about control.
Single entity ownership. In a world where we've paralyzed ourselves with red tape, owning the land is the only way to move at the speed of technology. If you have to ask 50 different stakeholders for permission, you've already lost.
It really changes how you look at a city map. You stop looking at the lines that are there and start looking for the invisible lines that should be there.
That's the strategic shift. We usually ask, how do I drive from A to B? This report asks, how do I stitch A and B together so the distance just disappears?
So here's the question for you listening right now. Visualize your city again. Where is your dead zone? Is there a river that cuts your neighborhood off? A highway you can't cross? An airfield that forces you into a giant circle?
If you could close that gap in 3 minutes for the price of a mid-sized office building, how would that change the way your city lives?
It's worth thinking about the next time you're sitting on a bridge waiting for a ship to pass. Thanks for diving deep with us.
A pleasure.